Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, rampaging run from midfield.
Messa fuori, c'è Pirlo, 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 ancora Pirlo, di testo, tiro,
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your co-host Reggie. Tonight we got Joe on the phone and we got another special interview this week. Tonight we're going to be talking to the head men's coach and the head women's coach at York University. We have Carm Asako. He's been on our show before. We're going to be talking to him about how COVID has affected his preparations for the university season and his experience working within the CPL for York 9. So stay tuned for that. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled FUTBOLweekly.com. You can download all of our episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Audible. We're on every platform you use to download podcasts. You can also subscribe to us on Twitter, the @FootballWeeklyPod, all one word. You can subscribe and follow us on Instagram as well, football_weekly_podcast. So guys, lots to talk about. So let's get into it. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. And we'll be back after this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Where he was heading, Zidane just shows it.
Hey guys, Carm Asako here from York University and Vaughan Soccer Club, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Joe, another week, another show. This week, I already know, but we have a returning guest actually this week.
And oh, jeez!
I mean, I remember playing one of the team. Well, the team that he played for in university, I remember playing them, and I hated every single person on that team. But I kind of like our guest though, so I don't think I can I can put those feelings towards him. So you know what I mean? So
pressure's on me now, eh?
Well,
pressure's on again.
Of course,
yeah. Yeah, well, this week, yeah, it is a returnee, as our guest, a returning guest, I should say, who also gave me the gears earlier on this week, saying that, hey, I only had you on once. He was right. I thought it was twice, but he wins, as he usually does. This guy is, we use this a lot. Me and Reggie have talked about, we hate that this word gets overused, the word legend, but I think if you ask anybody in the Canadian soccer community, especially in the GTA, this term legend truly applies. This guy is it for me. He's the guy I call, I bother, a lot of us do. We ask for advice. We ask for what should we do here? Do you know this guy? He knows them. He knows everybody. Humble. I'm going to let you know, and then I'll tell you more about him. But we finally have him on again, and none other than Carm Asako from York men's and women's soccer team, as well as the Vaughan Soccer Club. Carm has had so much experience. I think I would be here for about 2 hours at least, just talking about all the things he's done in the game. Carm is a mentor. He's a great person, a fantastic football man. All he does is help. He's had so many victories, national championships at the university level, been involved with the Canadian U20 team, been involved in so many Canada camps and organizational, let's say practices and what have you. Carm is definitely a legend, formerly coach, York 9 assistant coach. And I'm going to say, hopefully we see Carm in another opportunity like that. So welcome, Carm.
Thanks, man. All I heard is old guy.
No, old guy. The guy.
Old guy and older guy.
great guy. So,
yeah, you didn't hear great guy.
I appreciate the unfounded and undue compliments, but I'm only as good as people I surround myself with. So,
nice.
I've surrounded myself with some very good people, and any success that we've had as a group has been a product of people I believe in and people that have earned trust. If you say I'm a mentor in any way, I think that's that may be the only advice that I've gotten and I've believed in and I've gone with, and I've surrounded myself with people that are a lot better than me. So that's good.
I tell you, Reggie, I know you want to talk and pipe into. I'm going to give you guys one thing because Carm does, he's done so much for me. I don't think he understands, but I first come to
Joe.
To
I don't Vaughn. Think I'm allowed to talk to Reg.
He's no, from UM, okay.
UMBC.
Hey, UMBC in the buddy, Terps. We're the dogs, eh? We're the dogs.
You guys will have a chance.
There's only small turtles where you're from. We're the dogs.
We hold our noses up to them. We did that. There was no humility.
A continuation of the first time you were on with us.
But Pete Carinci is my boy, though. Yeah, Pete Carinci is one of a kind.
Good guy.
Ironically enough, when Sasha Sarofsky got the job at University of Maryland, I was on the selection committee and interviewed Pete Carinci, who was probably the best interview for sure. An incredible human being. Yeah. You talk about legends. He's done so much for that Baltimore County community. And a couple other names that I interviewed too, Steve Sampson.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah. Bob Bradley.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Steve Sampson was the national team coach at the time. And
I think we need to drop it, Reg. This is amazing. Go ahead, Carm. Wow.
No, there's some good stories there.
Let's give our listeners a bit of background. I mean, we talk about it a lot on the show. Carm, of course, the trailblazer, you know, goalkeeper at the University of Maryland. Reggie, our own Reggie, the Reggie, played at UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And Carmen just mentioned great guy, yes, Pete Carinci, who was Reggie's coach at UMBC. Wow, there he is. There's the 6 degrees right there. So amazing.
That's excellent. I'd really like to get into the interviews of Steve Sampson and Bob Bradley and why they didn't get the job. But we can talk about that after, I guess, right?
So I could tell you inside scoop that I don't know if Sasha ever heard this, he might not be so happy.
Oh, I love it. Let's go.
But Steve Sampson, I'll tell you, the assistant AD came to me and he says, we're going to give offer the job to Steve Sampson. And he's like, it was me. I don't know if you remember one of the best female soccer players in the world ever, April Heimrich, and all the administrative people on the board. So they originally said they were going to give the job to Steve Sampson. And they were going to give him his massive wish list. And I said, I think you're wrong. To be honest with you, the only reason I supported Sosh at the time was because my buddy Vito Serafini played for him at Hartford and that's the way people were back then. There was loyalty to the cause, loyalty to our friends. Right. And Serafini said something. I said, okay, I have to support it. So, and I told him, I said, you're making a mistake. He's like, why? Why am I making a mistake? He's the coach of the U.S. national team. Do you think that there's going to be any investment in the University of Maryland? You know, and what we need is someone motivated, someone passionate, someone that's going to get the job done. He's like, you really think so? I said, absolutely. He's like, well, we're still going to offer it to Steve Sampson.
You think so, Carm? Yeah.
Well, He said no, and guy that calls me into the office, and he said, listen, we're going to go with your man. Samson said no, we're going to go with Sasha. That's
so you're
true
saying
story.
There's a chance.
And the rest,
says, and
the
after
rest is
they
history.
Went, no, wow. they went 3-8, the first 3 and a lot the first year. And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, Carmine, this is on you, man.
It turned around a little bit, I think, right?
Right.
Just a little.
Project in the process, right? We talk about this a lot. Yeah, projects. Yeah, and, yeah. It, well, Carm, I mean, how many national titles did Sosh end up winning? You know, a few, and how many pros? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Maryland, I think they did okay.
And then the next year they were in the national tournament after his 3-17 season. Wow. They were in a national tournament. He brought in national players. It's amazing what he did with so little and what he's built. It's amazing. He's, you know, those stories, you always watch videos or the Nike videos that are supposed to motivate you. Well, he's a man that is the video, right? You know, a lot of things that he's done in the game and for the game at the NCAA level that would never have the quality of NCAA players in the MLS. And he's fighting for other causes. And
yes,
he's still changing
the seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Adding to the seasons. And you know what? This year is going to be a kind of a pilot project for it because of, you know, obviously the circumstances. But, you know, let's see how it works.
Carm, that's I knew part of that, but not all. Reg, this, we got to have Carm on more. Look at this.
Every time we have him on, we have a new nugget that we can, you know, we can talk about. Love it.
Well, what about – I got with the story of the MLS Cup. I think it was – Carm, you remember this? I called you. I texted you. I said, hey, Sasha's here. And I didn't know him at the time. Do you remember this one, Carm? I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
We were out there before. Yeah. It was the first year. I don't think it was the year they won.
No.
And – No, and Tsubasa Endo, I guess they were there, who is Maryland Terp as well. And so they came down, and I said, Karn. Like, of course, Reggie, I knew who Sasha Sarovsky is, but, you know, he didn't know me at the time. And I talked to Karn on the phone, and Karn's like, I said, hey, Karn, Sasha's here. I said, go to him. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, go to him. And at this point, Reggie knows our friend Paulo. I had a couple of beers with, let's say a couple. Okay. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like, Carm's like, well, bring me to him. And that's what happened, right, Carm? I brought my phone to him. I said, hello, excuse me, Mr. Sarovsky. He's like, who are you? And I'm like, hi. I'm like, hello. I said, you know your friend Carm in the Sacco? Oh, Carmen, yeah. He's on the phone. And, you know, funny because I was like, oh my God, here I am, Reg, a few beers deep at Williams, and Sasha, after he's done, and I'm waiting there, and Carm's, I'm like, this is taking long, but at the end of it, you know, Sasha talked to me for a good 5 minutes, and I thought, wow, I said, this is amazing, like, and that's Carm, you know, that's Carm, and people who know Carm, you know that he is giving almost to a fault. It's amazing, and I thought that was pretty cool, because those are the things. That's not in a coaching course, it's not in a clinic. And that was amazing for me because, yes, you know, I know it's going to hurt Reggie, but, you know, Maryland is, you know, when you talk about men's soccer in the NCAA, you have to talk about the University of Maryland and you have to talk about Sasha Sarovsky. So that was pretty amazing. And one other thing with Carm, too, is I was getting into this, but Carm wins. And I don't want you guys to listen to Carm, but.
Never met him. Right, sounds Carm. Like a good guy. I mean, everyone I've talked to that knows Carm says he's a great guy. I'm always like, he's a Maryland guy. How can he be a great guy? But Joe, I trust you.
Yeah, let's get back to the hate.
I trust you.
No, I like you. It better. I like you guys going it. But anyway,
hey, I trust you. Ironically enough, Joe, Shondell Busby, who's a coach.
Oh, another good guy.
That's was right. Sent to UMBC.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, by myself. And me and the old boys, I would like Karinji, he always checks up. He'll always check up. He's like, hey, man, this Patrice guy is trying to sell me this player. And I'm like, no, Patrice is good stuff. He's good stuff. You'd listen to him. And then that ended up being Milo Kapoor. Do you remember Milo had a great career? Yeah,
yes.
Great career at UMBC. Yeah. We've had a lot of good situations, some not so good situations with UMBC. We won't go there, though.
No, we won't go there.
No, but I, no hesitation yeah. with him and with Pete Karinji. He's just a top human being. One story about Sasha that I have to say is beyond the fact that he started his coaching career in the Canadian Soccer League. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the situation is I kind of just was on the tail end playing in Buffalo Blizzards and PSL, kind of going back and forth. And I was working with my 84s, 85s, 86s, which were at Azuri, which was a fantastic
group. Oh,
and I had an 87 playing up. And I was like, Sash, you know, I'm trying to convince this kid. He's like, I want you to know the true story. It's either between Chelsea, Man United, Ipswich, or University of Maryland. So he's like, I'm like, what? He's like, well, I don't know if I can give him a 60-50% scholarship. I don't know if I have that money. Oh. But I just hung up. I said, Sasha, don't talk to him anymore. This player ended up being Jamie Peters,
who played in the championship
for many, many years and had obviously an illustrious career. But he wasn't good enough for University of Maryland. But Dane St. Clair, who was the second best Canadian, maybe third best Canadian keeper to play at Maryland.
Yes, Karma Sacco,
kind of changed the perspective. Ooh. You know, there's a goalkeeper named Dominic Messina. He was amazing.
Yeah.
And when he graduated, I went in there. And I mean, accolades and all that stuff. Yeah, I got all that stuff, but they had three, four Canadians there. One of them was Jack Capetti, who you know well. Joe.
Yes. Yes.
Gino Ferran, who you know, Massimo.
Yes, absolutely.
Dominic Messina, who is a fantastic goalkeeper. And another gentleman by the name of Daniel Simijalski, who played for the U-20s, U-17s, wow. And just fantastic players. There's a big history of Canadians. Well, that was the main group that played that because they were all at Syracuse. There was Alden Shattuck, my coach, was at Syracuse prior, and he kind of took over at Maryland and brought in that Canadian influence. So without them, you know, who knows what would have happened? Who knows what – you know, now we have Malcolm Johnston and
he was like pulling teeth. Brother, yes.
That's right.
It was like pulling teeth. He was like pulling teeth. I was like, Sasha, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm done. He's like, well, I'm not so sure about, I was like, there's nothing not to be sure of. And he's, you know, Malcolm is just an incredible competitor. He's just an incredible competitor. And there's so many examples of what he's done and what he's going to do. And I think that, you know, obviously his brother's paving the way and setting a good example, but, Malcolm is every bit as good.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Those are high praise for Malcolm, and I think I agree, Carm. That's a great point. And I think a lot of our guys listening and who know Carm, they're going to listen to this. I think they understand, but it has to be reiterated. Is Carm, he's honest, and he'll always try to find, just like Pat, trying to find the best situation. And it's always about the kid. We always talk about this, Carm. We always do. I think it's fair to tell everybody we do. Whatever is the best for the player and the kid. And I think a lot of people don't see that. And they don't know that. And I hope this is a good platform for us to say that, Reggie, is, you know, Carm is the guy who not just has taught us, you know, to, you know, how to, you know, comport ourselves and to coach. And one of the best questions Carm has always asked is, I love it, is, you know, how would you handle it differently? I love that, Carm. And I use it and I steal it. But it's, let's do it the best. Let's try to do the best for the player. And if that means maybe that player is not with us, then we still got to do that. And I think that's high praise. So. Kudos to you.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, it's high praise to you guys, that, and especially Pat, who's done, you know, who's worked with all the integrity and ability and has done so much for these kids. And yeah, he has a blow up every once in a while, but we all do.
We all do.
And he's
we
he's
did, Carm. We had a good one in the summer, me and you. We had a nice one in the summer.
he's a nut bar, but the way, but I mean, we've been together, working together for so long, and we've got a really good group, and obviously the fruits of the labor are starting to come through, but, you know, a lot of credit has to go to the kids, and I know you had Kamal on, and, you know, Kamal's just one of those kids that when we went down to the CSL because of polemica,
Reg.
He's the one man who stood up and said, there's no way I'm leaving Vaughn. I'm sticking with Vince Calabria. I'm sticking with this group. Yeah. I'm sticking with everything. And everyone just jumped on his coattails, and the rest is history for him. And, you know, the kind of baton handing off to Patrice. He's kind of a shining emblem of what the high performance program is at Vaughn, and the whole program is at Vaughn. And we're really proud of Kamal and just how he's become a man and how he's grown up as well.
Most definitely. He brought that out when we spoke to him last week as well, how he has so much love for what Joe likes to call Hotel Vaughn, because apparently once you check in, you can't check out. So
that's these guys, you know, like, you know what, Reg, I think we're going on a good roll here. I want to keep talking about this. We'll get to how, you know, the stuff about who Carm supports and stuff after. Is that cool? Is that good?
Sure.
That'll be Reggie. Will get our man, the UMBC Maryland rivalry. We'll get that going at the end.
Yeah, it's not really a rivalry, is it, though? I don't think it is. So.
No, you guys had your cup of coffees at the top for a little bit there.
See, there you go. Reggie, guy's got – Carm's the king of banter. Carm is okay. He's a goalkeeper.
I would like to say it was cappuccino. It was cappuccino we had at the top. A little more expensive than a coffee. Thank you very much.
Ooh. I was thinking Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, wow. Not even Timmy's, eh? Oh, man.
No, Dunkin'
Not
Donuts.
Not at that time, right, Reg? Not at that time.
Yeah, like, we're sitting at the high table at Starbucks. I don't know where you guys are, but anyways.
So, Carm, we talked about the Vaughn thing. Our guys the guys that have come on have always talked about this, and I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk to Carm about this, Reg. The guys come on, and what do they say, Reg, about, you know, the training, you know, what they've got from Carm and Pat and the environment?
High level,
yeah, top notch stuff. And you know, I talk about it all the time, and I'm very blessed to be part of that. And I always used to say, I remember the first few times, like, okay, where do I put the cones down? And that's what I was like telling Carm and Patrice. One of my jobs is just give them a number, and, you know, you always give them, just count everybody on the field, and they figure it out. The guys came on here, Carm, and you know, you've heard them, and they talked about the environment, the training environment, in terms of the quality of the sessions, the intensity. That's got to be something that you pride yourself on. And I know you give credit to everyone else, but you have to have some credit in that too. Is that something that, you know, was it, it just happens because, you know, you, of course you got to be planned, you got to be ready, but is that's got to be something you're proud of, that these guys come back and say, no matter where we've been, whether it be at a high level or collegiate level, you know, at a U20 camp or a Canada camp or a national team camp or the pro level, they compare the training they get there to, like, just as good, or if not better, what we've had here and what you've fostered at Vaughn.
Yeah, I mean, our mentality is that our toughest game is against each other every day. You know, that's the keeping a high standard is what we take pride in and what's necessary for you to get to the next level. If you're not making that person beside you better, then you're not doing your job. I mean, that's kind of been built in our mentality, and I've been blessed to have probably one of the best coaches for me in the world, Bob Gansler, when I was playing for Milwaukee Rampage, who, you know, took the 1990 U.S. team to the World Cup for the first time in umpteen years, mm-hmm. took a U-20 U.S. team to the Final Four of a World Cup. And that's unheard of. But, you know, standards and ability and just what I could take in with a man like that was amazing. And, you know, even the people that we were with back in the day, the Emilio Hernandezes of the world, the George Zamuas of the world, they were all people that stood for ethics and ideals that were true and get lost in today's world as well. So that's standard keeping, and those things that we take and we give back is important. And they never made it about themselves. They always made it about you. And that those are the things that I appreciated the most. And you know what? I was blessed and to have some incredible, incredible teams and players when I first kind of was semi-retired, playing with Buffalo Blizzard and Toronto Lynx or whatever, just finishing and coaching. I had a 1984, 85, 86 Azzurri team back in the day with players that were like Frankie Bruno, Luca Forno, Franco Ruschetta, just top players, Kain Jeffers, Richard Asante, Tristan Murray, Murphy, where do players that honestly, as soon as they bought into things, I would have to stop practicing after an hour because they would be killing each other. Yeah. They would be killing each other. And, you know, and then the Jamie Peters and the Andrea Lombardos and the Derek Rios of the world, these players were, Michael Luke is still playing professionally in Hong Kong. Yeah. So there's, you know, Jamal Smith's Nanette Decores, all these guys, you know, they set an important standard, and I didn't want to let them down. So I had to be at my best. Great because they were that good. And we needed to be at our best because Kamal and Dane and a lot of other good players, and even the players I had at York, you know, I had to be at my best to ensure that they had an opportunity to fail at the highest levels that they can get. And, you know, and if we had a part of making them better players or better people, then great. And I think that Patrice does the same, and yourself and Shondell and Anthony Vidori and Jordan Felician, and obviously Serge is the brains behind it all. But it's not
Serge
Japanese
DeLuca,
arithmetic.
By the way, everybody.
Serge DeLuca, yeah. So it's not Japanese arithmetic, by the way. It's just caring, hard work, and you know, and making sure that we're at our best to make sure that they are.
Are you ready to play, Reg? Because I am. Carm, I know it's true, and I love that, and all those things are amazing things. And like, you know, Reggie feels like he knows you a lot because I talk about you a lot and what you instilled in all of us, and we love it. And it's true, and I love what you say, Carm, about, you know, we owe it to them, because, you know, I'm pulling into training is always like, you know, you've already thought about it, you've talked about it, you got to be ready. And I like what you say, that because we owe it to them, and that's such a good thing. And I think it still stays, I know it stays with me, and that's a great thing. So that's awesome. We love hearing that. Reg?
Well, I wanted to actually before we get into Carm's love of the game and who he follows, I just wanted to ask one question about Dane, actually. I know you coached him. How proud of him are you that he followed in your footsteps to be a goalie at Maryland, and then all the success he's seeing in the MLS and his recent call up to the Canadian men's national team?
Immensely proud, because the irony of all this is he reminds me of what I was. First couple of weeks at Maryland, right? I got a phone call from our good friend, Sasha Sarovsky. What's wrong with this kid? What's wrong with this kid? Why doesn't he put the work in? Why doesn't he work hard? I was like, Sash, what's going on? The goalkeeper coach complains that he doesn't do a set or the set hard enough. He doesn't work hard enough. I was like, Sash, when he plays, he will be there for you. Everyone doesn't have to have that same personality that you have, but the kid is just a winner. And has the swagger and has the ability and to make the big save when he needs to make the big save. And you saw that in the MLS playoffs. He made some amazing saves at the most important times. You saw that in his championship run. I said, don't be afraid about the way he is. Don't be afraid that he may be different, or you know, that the training isn't the top priority, or being that player that you know drives his head and shoulder into the ground every practice. You know, let him be himself, because he will bring you dividends. So I basically said, in many words, stop, shut your mouth, let the kid play, let the kid be. And it's not, and you know, it's not arrogance. And it's not, it's something that a goalkeeper needs. It's a level of confidence, belief, presence, a consistency of mental disposition to be successful. Yeah. That's what you need as a keeper. I mean, you see it all in all the best keepers in the world. It seems like an arrogance, which is fine. It seems like but you need that. You need that type of confidence. And if you don't have that, or if you don't lose that, you could have all the ability in the world, but that mental side is what Dane has portrayed by the way, he's fantastic specimen athletically. He distributes the ball well, and you know, and he's gotten opportunities. You know, he's gotten opportunities to be in the right
here,
and he's done well. I've seen some great keepers come here and through our system. I mean, one that comes to my mind right away is a Brian Bowes, who was just an amazing keeper, amazing athlete. Could throw the ball the length of the field, and you know, he had that mental disposition, but never had the opportunity to fail. But I think Dane has made the best of those opportunities. He is an individual, and goalkeepers are allowed to be individuals, and he will just get better and better and better and better. And I look forward to seeing where he can finish.
I think Joe and I always mention about goalkeepers that they're a different breed, and we just leave them alone to do their thing. So
leave them alone.
That's it. We never mention that.
Yeah, and like, you know, Reg, you played center back your whole life, and what they bring to that, what Carm is talking about, and Carm was a fantastic goalkeeper himself, and that bring that it exudes, you know, confidence to the team when the keeper can do those things, and when the keeper is himself. And has that personality and is playing at a top level. We see it. It makes the team around you better. It's a no-brainer. It absolutely does. That presence makes the team better. And I think, you know, that's what it is. And I mean, yes, I agree with Carmen, not breaking down the nuances of goalkeeping, because yes, I mean, we leave them to themselves. And I'm glad now that there's goalkeeper coaches, you know, that take care of that. And, you know,
in saying that, Joe, I was probably the worst goalkeeper coach in Toronto FC history, mind you.
you were there year one, right, Carm? Yes. Right.
I had Greg.
Greg Sutton, right?
It's Greg Sutton, who was a fantastic person.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, very good guy, good keeper. He got a concussion at national team camp and never was the same. And then Kenny Stamatopoulos came in, Markham boy.
Yeah. Good friend of Paul Kirchhoff, Reggie. Yeah.
What a brilliant, brilliant human being.
Yeah,
had some great days.
Paul Kirchhoff's good friend. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Like, I don't do a good enough job keeping in touch with him, but what
playing
a fantastic
Sweden,
person.
Carmi, or he was.
Yeah, he's coaching in one of the top clubs in Sweden right now as a goalkeeper coach. He's doing really well. And then, ironically enough, the goalkeeper for the coach for Tottenham came in for a little
bit.
This
is amazing. Just talking to
you
the other day.
Nuno, you don't remember Nuno. Nuno was my roommate at the Pan Am Games as well.
It's unbelievable. Reggie, Arsenal, okay. But everybody's watching.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Why are you another laugh again? Now this time I take offense. This time I take offense.
As you should. Hold on. Oh, this is amazing. But yeah, Reggie's now never gonna let this go down. But if you guys are watching All or Nothing, Tottenham Hotspur, I know Reggie loves that show. Yeah, right.
What's
but anyway,
that? What show
Nuno is
that? Is
there. Exactly.
Oh, he is? He's in it?
He's in it. He's there a lot. Carm, he is the goalkeeper coach for Spurs.
Oh, yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. He's an absolute whack job gem. I mean,
when I brought him in
the TFC, he was a very, very good keeper. But I guess the foreign thing, and I don't know what ended up happening. We ended up getting Srđan Đukanović as well, who, had his cup of tea and did okay. But Nuno ended up going to Rochester, coming up and playing with the training with the national team. And when I was working with Floro and Benito and Antonio Floro, he was there as well, working with the keepers. He did a fantastic job, and he kept telling me, he's like, "Yeah, Carm, Jose is one of my very good friends, a family friends." I was like, "Yeah, sure, Nuno, whatever." Seriously, I talked to him. He's helping me with the licensing, with the okay, Nuno, yeah, whatever. Lo and behold. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm watching I'm saying, no, yes, no, no, I'm doing all this. I'm like, that's him. Amazing. Well, Carmen, to be fair.
Nuno he's got a kind of second home in Canada with seriously.
No, seriously. I know.
Don't tell his wife that, but.
Jeez. But he was another guy, Carm. There was when we were all joking aside, Reg, we'd call Carm and say, "Hey, Carm, do you think, this player, do you think he might get a look in like one of the youth national teams or something like that?" And Carm would say, "Well, let me call." And Nuno was a guy too. I know, you spoke to Tony Fonseca and so on and guys, but. It was pretty funny, but anyhow, good for him, Carm.
Pretty amazing. Nuno, but the irony of all this is he has the worst eye for talent. And one of the biggest arguments we had was number one for Dane St. Clair. Oh, Dane, I don't know if he's our number three. This was for the U20s.
Oh,
I said, "Are you kidding me?" And he would push this kid, great kid again. He brought him to the Pan Am Games, Ricky Gomez, a good kid, good, decent keeper. But he tried to put him ahead of Maxime Crepeau at Pan Am Games. And I said, "This is where I got to put my foot down." I said, "No, Antonio, there's no way you can play this kid over Maxime Crepeau." Ricky did. And that's my story about Nuno. Nuno's a fantastic guy, though, fantastic
Amazing.
Person. And, I should have listened to him a little more. Who knows?
Jeez, Carm.
Well, Carm, since you made fun of my team, Arsenal.
Listen, I don't need to make fun of Arsenal.
They make fun of themselves
every week almost.
Joe, I don't know, man. Well, I don't know.
Can I get into it
or no?
Yeah, you got to ask him. You got to go at him.
Socrates, did they get rid of them yet? I think they're playing.
I think they're playing
League One.
Listen.
Has Logan taken over Carm's body?
We got rid of the Deadwood now. Now the team has Arteta has the teams that he wants right now. And we're going to dip into the transfer market next season, fingers crossed, and get players that we really need, right? We all can't be the Juves and the, of the world, Bayern Munich's of the world, So, I mean, well, that being said, I need to know what team you support so I can firmly make fun of you.
Come on, Carm. Let's go, Carm.
I am an Interista through and through. And I always will be a Jose Mourinho fan because of 2010. Because of 2010, I have to always be a Jose Mourinho fan. What he did back then with that group was a masterclass. With a masterclass.
You can't be happy right now with Conte.
No,
I think you,
no way.
Well, okay, can we say this, though? Okay, Carm, yes, Reggie, no, I'm a Milanista, but I got to say, Inter has the squad, the roster. They have to win this.
Absolutely.
They have to win this.
They're still the favorites to win it.
I agree. They are.
Really?
But, Milan's playing out of their skull.
They're overachieving.
Yeah, but do they have the... Do they have the youthful exuberance to do it? Absolutely. Surrounded by Ibrahimovic? Absolutely. Do they have the individuals from the number six back? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's just too many.
Defensively, in the middle, they're susceptible. But they've won some big games. And they're still 2 points ahead. There's a lot of soccer to play. But you're seeing it now how, other than Inter's 0-0 tie with Udinese, you're seeing it now that Milan's kind of faltering through. They've come back against, you know, the 10th and 11th place team to get a tie, down to two goals. So you're seeing a little bit of flaws in the individual experience.
I think it's squad depth, Carm. I think where Inter wins is squad depth. I think the only thing I'm disappointed with, and again, I know Milan, Inter people think, but we're soccer guys and we can look at it in some way. I just think I want them to play better. Carm, I said this to Reggie. Inter should be playing better. Like, meaning the ideas that – I just don't see the ideas that should be there, you know, the solutions. They have the squad depth. And I think
– Conte's really stubborn with his formations.
Conte,
And it's predictable. And
yes,
right.
It's predictable to the point where a good coach can exploit the flaws in transitional actions,
right?
Well, and their pressing, you know, is a little bit discombobulated, especially centrally, and they don't have that true number 10. Like, they kept trying it through Eriksen, although Barella is becoming a fantastic, incredible player.
He's a complete midfielder. And, Carm, we said this last week, Reg. I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, but Arrigo Sacchi was talking about, former Milan coach of the national team, USA 94. And he was talking about Nico Barella as a youth player. It was on one of the shows in Italy. And he said, you know, at the U15 camp at Coverciano, he was, who is this kid? Why? I don't know if we made the right decision to have him here. You know, wasn't complete, like technically flawed here and there, but he said, you know what? No one worked harder. It's a great example for young kids. You know, no one worked harder and no one was addicted and he's addicted to getting better, and it's full value because he is arguably, I know Lukaku's goals, but he's arguably Inter's most important player.
Right.
Or 100%. Best, so anyway.
But they have a lot of, but he's not their number 10 though.
He's not at a 10.
So Eriksen hasn't fit the bill, but they still need that creative number 10.
I'm going to say this, Carm.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say this because we want Carm to finish. Reg, I'm sorry, but I think Inter has enough to win in Italy, and I think they will. I think Inter or Juventus will win. Is it enough? And this is the thing about Italian football. Is it enough at the European level? And I just don't think it. I think they'll come through in the end. I think the squad depth gets them through. They get over the line.
In Serie A, you mean?
In Serie A. Yeah. In Serie A. So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They crapped the bed in the Champions League. It was a tough group for sure, but no reason they couldn't have. And Real Madrid at the time was struggling with identity, they should have at least qualified second at the worst. But
we got to have Carm on for Serie A, Carm. So now that we have you, we'll get you on that. We'll get you on. We'll talk about Serie A. We'll get him on for that. Well, absolutely. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about here, don't we, guys, with our Canadian angle and stuff we got to get to, Reggie?
For sure we do. And one of Carm's coaching accolades was being one of the first coaches for York 9 in the CPL. We want to talk about that experience you had working within the league and where do you see the league going and where do you see York 9 going in specific? I know they've changed their name, I believe.
It's York United now.
So, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Almost like York U, right? Almost like York U, almost.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of similar.
Who knows? Maybe they're still playing out of York U, and York U's kind of redoing Pan Am, the old Pan Am Stadium, now York Lions Stadium.
Right.
They're putting turf in. They're putting a bubble up. So the field, which was the best surface in the CPL by far, immaculate surface, was small. And now they're going to go to a bigger field, probably 75 by 110, okay. Which is a good size. And you know, maybe it'll change the fortunes of York United. But yeah, I mean, I'm that's one thing I'm proud of. I was there on the bench for the inaugural season of TFC, and that was emotional because you know. You've been part of the struggles of Canadian soccer, whether it was the Canadian Soccer League, which was a fantastic level, and the National Soccer League, which was another fantastic level, you know. And then you're on the TFC and what they did and what they've done on a marketing standpoint and now on the field as well is amazing. So now I had the privilege of being in the inaugural game of CPL, the Canadian Professional Premier League, which was like something really proud of. And you know, almost a tear when that national anthem played and there were 17,000 people at Tim Hortons Field. It was a beautiful experience. Let's hope we don't screw it up.
Well, that's what we want to talk about, Carm.
And sure.
Again, yeah, right. We want to talk about this. So, Carm, I mean, this is something we all want this to succeed. We want our players to have a chance, a pathway. You know, you talked about different leagues you were part of, and it was just, you know, there was good initial things, and they were good. It was good level. Absolutely was. I remember going to watch Carm's teams, Reg. I talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was coaching SC Toronto, you know, with Jake Chapman, Jonathan Osorio, Jarek White. There's a lot of guys. Great level. We get it. So this is the CPL, and yes, we've had some good things, Carm. There's been, you know, positive things like you talked about, yeah. Opportunities for players. This week, some news comes out. You know, Dwayne Rollins, 24th minute, did some stuff on this. You know, the player salaries get some information about the salaries gets released. We're hearing, you know, we heard players like, of course, just this week, former York Lions player for you and. You know, Canadian Youth International and, you know, QPR and Dundee United, Dylan Carrero retires at the age of 26.
Unreal.
You know, formerly of Valor. You know, Luca Gasparato, who, you know, Carm played for you at York 9, formerly York 9, now York United. And it was
at SC Toronto. Of
that's
Portugal.
Right. Way back, even before he went away, I think, Carm.
Like, yeah, just before he went away to Rangers. Yeah.
To Rangers. So, again, there's history. So here's a guy, 1995 born, Luca Gasparato, you know, just like Dylan Carrero, they're 26 years old. They're calling it a career. Are they not, Carm, good enough to play in the CPL? Or like, is money having something to do with it? Like, the salary's got to play a role in this. These guys leaving early, do they not? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if I compare back in our day. Playing in the A League, we weren't looking at 10 years down the road. We were looking at, you know, I was roommates with Dino Lopez, playing in Milwaukee, making a decent salary, enjoying our life, kind of in taking steps to where, who knows where we'll be, whether we're involved in the game still, what was next. Everything was a chance, everything was a hope, and people want to accelerate their lives now. People just are looking to the future of what they can be. And then Dylan and Dario and Luca are, Dario's his dad, which we played together too. Yes. Yeah. Just didn't see it making sense. And I guess they didn't love the game that as much as they should have. And I know Dylan loves the game. So, and I know, you know, the great story about Dylan, and he was a player representative with the league as well. I think that, and I'm hoping that, people are looking, and the statement I think he's trying to make is, hey, you know, wait a minute, why is Dylan Carrero, former youth national team player, former player, you know, international player in England, playing, you know, QPR, all those, why does he need to retire? Like, why is why is this happening? Like, I think that that's the statement that he's trying to make. He doesn't want to retire, but when you're offered $25,000 and you can go be a teller at TD Bank for, you know, 40, 50, 60, and kind of start a semblance of a life with that, then you're scratching your head a little bit, right?
Of course.
Now, I don't think it's the salary cap per se. So you're looking at the salary cap at CPL. It's tough, $750,000, right? And you've got some kids because they don't have a minimum salary. Last year, we worked with a minimum salary. 2 years ago, we worked with a minimum salary, but that wasn't actually an issue. So there's kids that can come into the league on a 23-man roster and play for $10,000, wow. Right? And it's, yeah, $10,000. You're playing professional soccer. You're getting
and dedicating your life to it.
Wow.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's the reality of it. But then you look at the inequities of the pay. Pay balances. You're getting, and the elephant in the room is that international player, and that analytics group, the 21 group that comes in, puts the names in the computer, looks at their value according to games played, according to this situation, and from that they need to deduce that he is better than Emmanuel Zambasis, and they should make $60,000 or $40,000. Compared to, wow, Emmanuel Zambasis that makes 10,000. So yeah, I mean, it's analytics, and
right. So it's creeped in here too, as you're saying.
So when I say analytics, you got to look at the level of the league as well. This is a year and a half. This league has been here, let's say, a year and a half, because the second year wasn't really a year.
Yeah,
so they are put at a lower level probably than some, you know, Malaysian league or Madagascar league, or, you know, so there,
that's they compare where, with, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then when you plug in a number and they say, okay, this guy's playing the third tier in Argentina or Ecuador or wherever, that league is way higher than CPL. Thus he should be making this. I mean, and then you just lose the reality of the situation, that it's not only a lateral move, It's a lower move, right. And players like Zambasis and players like Gogarty and players
Dylan Carrero, Sacramento,
mm-hmm. they don't have the opportunity to fail. They don't get that opportunity because of this algorithm, because of analytics. You know how many, and I say this with all respect, you know how many Jonathan Osorios are out there? You know how many Mark Anthony Kays are out there that we don't uncover because we don't give them those opportunities? And you know what? If Alistair Johnson or Kamal Miller or Dane St. Clair were in a different situation, they might have not even got a shot in the CPL. They might not even got a spot on the roster.
That's amazing.
Put that in perspective.
That's amazing.
That's a very true statement.
I think it's a little scary.
Yeah. And I think that we need to look at it. And I think that we need to look at because the marketing was a Canadian league for Canadians by Canadians. Yeah. Trust the Canadian player, because we have a lot of value as well. Trust that there's a lot of Alphonso Davies. Let the process go and bring in players like the National Soccer League. When we brought in foreigners, or you look at even the Rockets back in the old Canadian Soccer League, they brought in players from Italy that would make that young player better. They brought in players from former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Croatia, wherever, that would make that player better and were hungry to play and hungry to live. Hmm. You know, those were the difference makers, that they weren't second tier people or players. They were there to make people better. And I thank God that I had got to play with someone like Alexander Sashanedev, who came from, you know, the first divisions in the former Yugoslavian leagues, who wow, taught me so much. Miguel Rojas, who came from first division in Chile. Omar, Patrick Tobo, who came from incredible levels and just with an incredible work ethic that taught you what suffering was, what life was.
Yeah.
Now we bring in third-tier players that are entitled, and not all that, because you look at the Joao Morelli kid that came from Halifax, good player, you know, fit in busy, well, did well.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at Malanga, he had a, you know, a cup of coffee at Calgary where he made a difference. Yeah. You look at the Calgary players, not that we don't have the same thing here, but they're good players and they made a difference for that team, right?
Carm, you said something about, you know, being allowed to fail. And I think Reggie and I speak about this a lot. When you said by Canadians for Canadians, of course, that isn't that part of it? Like, you have to be given opportunities to make those mistakes here so that you can, you know, rectify them, work with them, whether it be the coaches, the players, so that they can have another chance to get better, to improve, to get to whatever next level that is. Because we can't hide the fact that this is still supposed to be a developmental type league, especially, like you said, in a year and a half of its existence, really. And that's what's a troubling for me. I think for us, when we take a look at the league, you know, certain players aren't given that opportunity. And there's where, you know, because again, if the league is supposed to be, again, with that Canadian focus, of course, the young player, it seems like, and again, maybe cost has something to do with it, Carm. You know, the young players are getting a chance, like, let's say the 18s, you know, 17 and 18 year olds. But is those guys, like you mentioned, the Carreros, the Sacramentos, the Gogartys, the Zambasises, that are in the mid 20 range that maybe need not just an opportunity, but maybe a second opportunity? Do you see that as something that can be rectified?
Well, there's the under 21 rule now that exists, right? They have to complete so many minutes, and obviously even at the CPL games, the Island games, they you saw Halley for York 9 and Max Ferrari for York 9, and the target up top, Lowell Wright, yeah, good players, and they got opportunities because of the rules of the game. But I mean, again, let's not be naive. They have that rule in for you know, selling purposes, to sell that Canadian young player, because that is the age group where you know, that's why Atletico Madrid invested in Ottawa, you know, because of Alfonso Davies. They want to find the next Alfonso Davies.
They're looking at an opportunity.
They probably won't find that in the mid 20 player who's kind of gone through their tactical development and physical development and technical development, but they might find that in the 19 year old player, a Lowell Wright who, you know, has an upside for sure. And has Kyle Larin tendencies as well. So that's one of the issues, and the league wants to make money by selling these players, and by selling those top players like Tristan Borges. I mean, Forge sold him, made a little bit of money. You know, things aren't working out greatly for him in Belgium, but you know, it's still that financial gain, and it's still that business side of things that the league is looking at. Thus, the young player rule. And you know, and it's not necessarily not working, but we do have we can't lose perspective on the fact that there's a lot of 25, 26 year olds that can make an impact in this league. You know, like Kwame Amoa. You look at Kyle Becker, who's a little bit older. Joe DiChiara, who's a little bit older. These guys are making an impact in this league. Manuel Aparicio, who falls into that same boat. They there's a value for them in this league, and right now there's a value for them in developing those young players.
I had
Kyle Porter, who's like almost in the short side of 30, but still like a fantastic individual that could teach players, that has the ability to coach them on the field, make them better.
About being a pro, right, Carm? About being
exactly.
A professional on and off the field, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where we need to see the value of those players. And does that exceed the value of bringing in a mediocre South American player or that comes in, falls in, ticks all the boxes of that algorithm? Probably, you know? So that's where the disconnect is from, you know, the Canadian purist and what the league was supposed to be about versus what the league is. And again, maybe we're being naive. You know, but Calgary, who is, you know, had the foothills before that in the PDL and had some sort of some sort of continuity. They were the best team, one of the best teams in the league, and Forge was obviously, you know, the Sigma continuity was one of the best teams in the league, you know. And who knows, if we had a Vaughn Woodbridge type continuity in York 9, who knows? You know, you saw what York, you saw what Vaughn did to Halifax, right?
Halifax.
And I'm not saying just it could have been a relation, even the York region itself, like with, you know, Vaughn and Aurora had Max Ferrari came from Aurora, players of that ilk. You know, if you looked at that base of players in the York region, you could have had a great team. You could have had a very good team that I'm and you do your homework on the 2-3 foreigners, you know, we would have been right up there with Forge and with Calgary.
So, Carm, what do you think about the model of leagues owning players? And I know the MLS is kind of the same, where the league, I'm not saying something wrong, am I, Joe? The league owns the player as well? So if you sell the player, the league gets a cut of the money as well.
MLS, yes. Yeah. But
is the same in CPL or no?
It's not. They're not. The definition of single entity isn't what CPL is, but the owners kind of own the league. But the league is owned by Canadian Soccer Business. So it's basically Canadian Soccer Business owns CPL, but the owners own the individual teams. So
it's
when
a unique situation, right?
Yeah. When Emilio Estevez was sold, the money went back into York United's funding, right? Whatever. When Tristan Borges was sold, the money went into Forge, right? It's not a revenue sharing type thing.
Okay.
So it is a little bit complex, and I'm probably missing a lot of complexities of the deal.
The gist of it is there, right?
The gist of it is there. It's not MLS single entity. It's not that. It's not everything goes into the league. So the league lost $1 billion because of COVID-19 and everything that happened last year. But that is $1 billion divided between 30 teams. So it's misleading a little bit, not a little bit, a lot, because losing $1 billion between whatever they're at now, 20 something teams, isn't. It's a chunk, but it's not a lot.
Yeah,
it's not. Right,
big picture, yeah.
You know, that imagine MLSE, what kind of tax breaks they're getting with losing part of that $1 billion or whatever. But there's all kinds of situations that are different between MLS and CPL. MLS, the single entity. Yeah. So when we sold Maurice Adu year one at TFC, he was sold to Rangers for about, let's say, well, what we were told was $5 million.
$5 million.
Yeah. What? Right. Yeah, what Mo Johnson put in his pocket? Who knows? But
Carm, you gonna have a beer with him tomorrow? Anyway, sorry.
Oh boy, I got stories.
Part 3 and 4, Carm Isacco on the football.
No, I'll just put it this way: Mo Johnson lives his life to write his book. When that book comes out, watch out.
Is it gonna be a chapter dedicated to you?
No.
You touched upon something before, and listen, we have to talk about it. The two teams that are, you know, perennially in there, with all due respect to Halifax, that was in the final. But you know that if you look at the standings and the competitiveness of the level of play and you know where they've been, Calgary and you know the Calgary team led by Tommy Wheeldon, and of course, you know, Bobby. At Sigma and what he's done at Forge, those teams stand out. You said part of it, you know, is, you know, they had a foundation with Foothills and PDL and so on, you know, Forge with the Sigma connection. Do you see that as something that you mentioned a little bit, if there was a Vaughn Woodbridge thing, granted the York region thing, is this something, Carm, we got to be honest here. I mean, you have to be hoping and not hoping, but is there part of you that says, hey, you know, I wish I had a chance to be, you know, it'd be a great opportunity to be, you know, the head coach or the person who's leading the charge with a group that has a CPL team with, you know, a Vaughn / Woodbridge or connection.
Yes, because I mean, not individually. Yes, but I think that that concept would have worked in our York region, Vaughn, Woodbridge, whatever, because of the sustainability. All right, Sigma is right now doing well. Are they going to be able to sustain that player, revolving player from U12, 13, 14, 15 into the first team like they did kind of this way? Maybe not. But I am 1,000% sure that Vaughn would, whatever, York Region, that would have been a very sustainable model for continued success moving through, just like Calgary Foothills is, just like Tommy Whelan recruited and drafted his own players in the U Sport draft, just like that. Mm-hmm. They have a plan B for everything. In Calgary, they lost Dominic Vitor to York United. So I think they have a plan B in their own circle for sure, in the Calgary Foothill reality or the Calgary community reality. And I think that's the thing that I'm most upset at, is that we had something special here to build. We could have built a very sustainable model to have success for a long time. Not only success in the standings and the points and in the trophies, but success in selling players and moving players on and moving players into the MLS, moving players into Europe, because we have that talent pool and we have the base. We just have to build from that base, but we didn't get the chance to do that. And that's upsetting. Regardless if it was me as a leader or whoever is a leader, it's upsetting to see that this isn't coming to fruition.
And let's not shy away from the fact that that would also lead into the grassroots and the development of a stronger, which is already pretty strong, stronger grassroots system and, you know, of organization throughout. So I think that's a good point too. Reggie, sorry, I know you wanted to pop in.
No, but it's a snowball effect where, you know, 70,000 registered players, close to 70,000 registered players. I mean, you know, we do a good job. And I kept telling that. Everyone was mad at York 9 because no one supported us the first year. I was like, the only person we should be mad at is ourselves, because we didn't earn the right. We didn't earn the right of those 12-year-olds or the amateur adults that come to the games. We need to earn that within the community. We haven't done anything. It's there, you complain.
No, I know. No, you're right.
No, yeah. I understand. But it's,
no, I know what you're saying.
It's a process.
You're right. Yep.
And there's a foreshadowing of what needs to be done. But again, right. Angus McNabb comes in, and we'll see what happens with his mentality. And he's either a genius or, you know, a madman, which is a fine line. Sorry, Reg. Joe talks too much, man.
No, he's fine. He's a Milan guy. He always has to explain something, right? So,
you question your credibility. We found out you're an Arsenal fan. Oh, so. Well,
come on, I'm on your side this time. What are you talking about?
Okay, my bad.
I know you were talking about the Maurice Adu thing. How did that end? Well, the transfer, because you were saying it was a $5 million transfer fee, and where did the money go?
I think probably $2 million went to Toronto FC, and it was a big part of the beginning developments of the academy, to be honest. And I think the other $3 million were separated between league, between youth clubs and all that stuff.
Wow.
But I think at least, I want to say at least half or more went to the league.
Wow. So the team doesn't even get the lion's share of that transfer fee.
Correct. Wow. Correct. I don't know if that's changed. Obviously that was 2007, or 2008, seven, around that time. At that time it was different. It was different. Now, you know, you see Jordan Morris going to Swansea on loan.
Right.
You see DK going to Barnsley on loan. Yeah. So there's a lot of, loan / to buy, or just
like
they're trying to save
to
money.
Buy.
They're trying to, they're trying to save money and trying to save on salary. So, right now, to give their salary up for 6, 7, 8 months or 7 months, whatever, is helping it. So, but it's kind of a red flag too. So yeah, and Maurice is doing a fine job right now as an analyst.
And of course, where did he go, Rick Armgood?
Where did it all go wrong? Oh, he's a Maryland boy. Yeah,
I never should have brought it up. Never should have brought it up.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
I have to take care of the best wingman in the league.
MLSU.
Okay, well, if it's true, it's true, right? What can you say? If it's a fact, it's a fact.
Love it.
You'll always be the little brother.
Okay, Carm, it was fantastic having you. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we could sit here and talk. We could sit here and talk all night. I mean, like Joe said, part four, part five.
Yeah. We'll have Carm on. We'll have Uncle Carm on again. And and that's the nicest thing. So, yeah, we'll have Uncle Carm on again. I mean, look at that. The knowledge that Carm brings, and again, with experience, and that was great insight. Carm, we want to see CPL survive, thrive. I know you do too. We are a bit frustrated too on the show sometimes.
For sure.
We're fans of it. We're fans of it, like, you know, but we want to see it do better because that's what fans do. And, you know, we're biased. No fan is more passionate than the football/soccer fans. And yes, there are players that I'm going to stay it right here. There are players that I would love to see play for that are unattached right now that should be attached.
You can name
them. Carmisacco.
You can name them.
Well, we said there's guys like Daniel Gogarty who played for Carm at York 9, Emmanuel Zambasis, who had a small collection but fantastic games and should be playing. Mm-hmm. Dylan Sacramento, Dylan Guerrero, you know, so many other players. You know, we talked about Luca Gasparato. The list goes on. I don't want to miss anybody, but Carm, I think those guys and guys like that deserve a chance. I always thought a guy like Jarek Whiteman would have deserved a chance too. Like so many guys that, you know, and I know I'm naming a lot of guys that Carm's attached to, but I think it's worth mentioning, and maybe we'll leave it, you know, we'll leave it with Carm, but these are guys that deserve another chance. And I hope that guys like, you know, Carmisacco, Patrice Geyser and the likes of that, Serge Luca, you know, guys who are involved in the league and other guys like Carm mentioned too, that have an opportunity, because this league is not only for the Canadian player. It was supposed to be for the Canadian coaches as well. And Carm, any CPL team at the next one should be absolutely knocking your door down. And we hope that that does happen.
I appreciate that, guys. But regardless of that, you know, we can be critical and we can be loud, but we got to be there. So let's support the league. Let's be there. Let's be present. Let's encourage people to be present. Because it's about the greater good, and it's bigger than you know, me and you and Patrice and everything that goes on. But because it's what should happen, and we need this to grow. And you know what? You know, between Jimmy and Paul Stelteri, there's a lot of international caps there. They've done a lot of good things for our country on the field, and they deserve all the support that we should be giving. Let's look at that first and then be critical second. Let's be there and be available and be just there. And then if we're critical, that's good. That's good because we're invested.
We'll definitely be watching the CPL. I know many others as well will be watching what the CPL is going to bring forward this season. When the CPL was announced, Joe and I were ecstatic. We thought it would be a league that it's another place for Canadian players to make their way into, you know, a better situation, maybe follow the lead of like an Alfonso Davies who never had a CPL to play in, right? He went straight to the MLS, but not everyone can be Alfonso Davies. So some people have to find their feet in a different league. And we thought the CPL was going to be that, but it just doesn't seem like that's the way it's going. We've named a bunch of players that you guys know. For me, I know Joe showed me a lot of video on Emmanuel Zambasis, and I just can't figure out why he's not playing anywhere in the CPL. But like I said, Football Weekly, everybody else, I know we mentioned 24th Minute as well. We'll be watching what the CPL does, and hopefully they do the right thing.
I'm sure they will, and we'll hopefully, you know, stand proud and still support, you know, definitely support the builders of the game, the Kyle Beckers of the game, the Joe DiChiara's of the game, who fight hard and, you know, who do a lot of good things and sacrifice and passion and then they're going to be important builders, and 10 years down the road we're going to thank them for, you know, giving the likes of players like Emmanuel Zambasis the pathway to be there, and hopefully the statements that Dylan Guerrero makes and the sacrifice that he does and the statement that he's making about retiring and all that stuff is heard. Right. And it doesn't go down as, oh, you know, I'm a selfish little so-and-so. No, it's a statement saying that players need to be respected more. The inequity of pay is absolutely ridiculous. And that he's making a statement about it, and good on him. And let's hear it. Let's share the message. And hopefully he makes it better for the next players coming along.
Karim, love having you on. We're going to have you on again for sure. We can sit here and talk for hours, like we've mentioned. I know Joel is a big fan of yours. I'm beginning to come around, even though you're a Maryland Terrapin guy. I'm beginning to come around. We'd love to have you on. Maybe during the CPL season, and we can discuss if anything's really, really changed, yeah. And we can revisit this conversation we had. But love that you were on. We appreciate your time, and nothing but the best for you.
I appreciate it, Reg. And thank you very much, Joe. And I appreciate the work you guys do. You guys do amazing work, and it's important for the game, and it's important to talk about the game. And you know what? You're making it a lot more relevant. And thanks. Thank you. And it's selfless work, but you guys do a fantastic job of it, and live it every day. So I appreciate it. And I'm sure there's a lot more people than me that appreciate it.
Appreciate the kind words. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.